tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. It's Wellness Wednesday with Dr. AJ from Decision One Dental. And get your calls in for Dr. Lars Dingman, the iTunes psychic, happening at 1 a.m. And to catch you up on all things White Sox, we have our White Sox Talk with John Bolger. But now, the favorite show of listeners from Hampshire, Illinois. It's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Night already. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is less than a week, I think, before I'm not going to be broadcasting from this studio anymore, Michael. I know. What's that? Do you hear that sound, too? Or is it just me?
It was a little bit of a growl.
Yeah, what is that? Is it? Is there a ghost in the... are the landlords telling us to get out? Get out! Time to go. Your lease is up.
It possibly could be.
Don't play that backwards. All I know is the engineer has shown up.
Yes.
And Aubrey is trying to determine what is...
He'll take care of everything.
He's looking for the monster in the machine. I'm so thrilled to welcome to the studio Dr. Charles J. Turk. He's a good friend of the show and our pharmacist expert. I say that just in case people want to know. I think we should always throw that out there in case they have any drug questions. We can't necessarily help them all the time, but...
Okay, bring it on.
Bring it on. I asked you moments before we went on the air if you had a chance to check out the story. In regards to the NFL deciding how they were going to handle the national anthem situation. And before we go into that, 312-981-7200, I want to know what people think about this. Do you think this is a good compromise to decide that the players, if they are on the field during the national anthem, they must stand. If they are kneeling or anything else, they will be fined. Now, my question is it a good compromise? And I guess the part two to that question is, will you be keeping track of the players who are not on the field? This is going to be an interesting thing because the silent protest could be that they don't come out on the field at all during the national anthem. So at least you don't see them doing something that you consider to be disrespectful. And that's part of my question. And beyond that, what do you do when you see the American flag being handled improperly? Because if you're somebody that demands respect of the national anthem and of the American flag, do you also do you step up when you see your neighbors leaving their flag out in inclement weather, when they leave their flag up all night long? Because if you leave your flag up all night long without proper lighting, you are actually improperly displaying your flag. So I'm just curious about that. And I have a very specific reason for this. I have not had a chance to post this photo. But as I was on my way here, I was driving into the station and I passed a neighborhood high school and I saw a gentleman lowering the American flag and he was just wrapping it around his arm. And I pulled over because I could see that he was pulling on the cables and trying to unhook it. And he was wrapping it around his arm and was like just balling it up. Now, Charles, if you saw someone just balling up the flag, what would be your reaction to that?
There might be a better way of doing it.
if you saw someone just balling up the flag, just literally just balling it up and wrapping it around their arm and just like shoving it. What do you think about that?
I hope no one else saw him.
I did. So I pulled over, and I haven't posted the picture yet, but I'm not kidding when I say, what would you say he's doing with that flag there, Charles?
Well, you know what? There's a little bit of a round and about way of answering this, and that is, there's a clickhole piece online, and so there's a McDonald's secret menu. There are five items on the menu, and so the joke is that every single item on this secret menu is a regular McDonald's item, and the joke is that it's all balled up. Okay, so it's like, yeah, it's a McChicken balled up.
Yep.
So anyway, to answer your question, that flag, that American flag, is how you would order it on that McDonald's secret menu. That American flag is balled up.
It is completely balled up. Now, this is a Chicago Public High School. This is on the property of a Chicago Public School. Should the people who are bringing down the flag properly be taking the flag down? And there are rules to this. We actually have a national code for how flags are supposed to be handled and how they're supposed to be displayed. Hey, John, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, Patty. It's John, your listener from Lowesport, Indiana.
Hey, good to hear from you. Thank you so much.
There are.
Oh no. Somebody, Indiana got him.
We just lost John.
We just lost John.
Oh no, it's the ghost.
I think did he want to know why the players are not being fined?
Exactly.
Well, they will be fined if they protest during the national anthem. If they take a knee or turn their back on the flag, I believe they will be fined for such a protest. And there's an interesting aspect to this. I think the conversation is healthy. I know that for a lot of people, I'm disappointed, you know, as far as being able to demonstrate their First Amendment rights. On the other hand, this is their employer. The NFL is suffering as a business. And I think that there needed to be something next, right? As it's kind of like, okay, you've knelt for an entire season. You've protested for an entire season. What do we do next? There has to be something built upon that, is my opinion.
Right, but I don't think it's fining them for doing that.
For doing that, right.
So I'm very happy that there's a few owners that are stepping or are backing the players, and they say they will pay the fines.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that part of it, see? So that's I'm fascinated by this entire conversation, especially the people who are so adamant and are vigilant about the fact that the NFL players who kneel are being disrespectful. I have about a dozen photos of flags in my neighborhood that are have been up during the rain, that are tattered, which are supposed to be disposed of. And again, this gentleman who was taking down a flag in front of a CPS building was balling it up. And here's the rest of that story. I pulled over, jumped out of my car, and offered to help him properly store it, and he refused. And I was kind of like, okay, just a Girl Scout out here trying to show you how to make a 3-point triangle. Okay, anyway. Hey, Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Patty?
Very well, thank you.
I got a comment about both of your issues. As far as the NFL issue goes, I'm glad they came to this kind of practice after 2 years of people kneeling. I just hope that the TV coverage during the game or at the beginning of the game doesn't include shots of those players coming, you know, the ones that want to protest coming out of the locker room then. I would rather just set that aside, you know.
And will the players who are coming out of the locker room, will they all be assumed to be those who are protesting the treatment of minority communities, do you think? Or is it just somebody who is like, I didn't finish tying my laces?
I don't know. I think they all pretty much tie their laces pretty well, quick.
I'm just kidding. So the assumption will be that if they're not on the field during the national anthem, they're doing their own quiet protest privately.
I believe that's true, yeah, and I'd rather not see them. But I'm sure that somebody's going to show coverage. You know, here we have a camera here, and here's the people that were protesting, and they're coming on the field now.
Interesting. So what happens when you see them protesting during the national anthem?
I just think it's kind of disgraceful.
So when you see somebody improperly displaying the American flag, what do you do?
Okay, here's my little story. When I was in grade school, I was a patrol boy. Okay, I don't know if you remember the little kid.
I was a captain of the crossing guards. Yes, I'm very familiar with the orange belt that
I
wore.
Okay, so it was also our responsibility to raise and lower the flag at our school.
Ditto.
And when I see people like balling up the flag, we used to have a ceremony where, you know, we had to actually fold the flag into a triangle correctly.
Yes.
And then, you know, bring it into the school. So, yeah, that's kind of disturbing also.
What do you do, though?
Well, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone doing that, but describing what that gentleman did.
Correct.
It would make me upset. Yeah.
Well, so like I said, I pulled over, jumped out of my car, and offered my assistance, which he refused. But I also have photos of many of my neighbors. Do you ever say to your neighbors, hey, do you happen to know that you're not supposed to put your flag out all night long? You're not supposed to leave it up in the rain. Once it starts to get distressed and be tattered, you're no longer supposed to display it. You're supposed to dispose of it properly, including burning it.
Yeah, we kind of talk about that every once in a while. It doesn't happen too often in my neighborhood, though.
Okay, well, there you go.
So people lower and bring in their flags pretty regularly.
Excellent. It's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we will continue this conversation. I've got to take a break here. I know, Charles, I came in guns a-blazing about the the flag, because I did. Charles, I jumped out of the car and I was like, can I help you with that?
That flag was all balled up.
It was all balled up.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It was balled up to begin with. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot that you could do. And that guy was adamant about it. You know, I mean, he wanted his flag balled up.
He wanted it, but he looked very, yeah, he was, I mean, it was, he turned away from me.
He was all McDonald's secret menu about it.
I was this close to wrestling him for it to show him how to fold it, but no.
You know,
was,
then you would have been late.
And the only thing I think of is he's going to go shove that somewhere. More after this.
God knows where.
Exactly. More after this on 720 WGN. Earlier today, the NFL decided that they would end the conversation about kneeling during the national anthem by prohibiting the any football player who is on the field during the national anthem. They are prohibiting it in the terms that they will exact a fine on the players or on the team. I'm not entirely sure of which it is. But, you know, it's part of a fear of a diminished bottom line. I lost a lot of viewers. Who knows if those who supported players who wanted to kneel will be leaving this season. But it is a business, and there is something to that. A lot of the teams, including the Chicago Bears, have invested time and resources into understanding more about why Colin Kaepernick kneeled in the first place. And that's something that I was thinking, you know, we do need to go on from this conversation. I'm either way on supporting the people who kneel. I think that some of the teams, Charles, you were mentioning that some of the owners have said they will absorb the fines.
Yes. No, Esmeralda said that. You know, I can confirm that. What I had said offline, to piggyback on what Esmeralda said, was that at least one of the teams or stadiums was saying that they would also stop selling concessions to go along with this. They would stop selling concessions, which in effect, the intended effect of that would be to compel fans to also stand and observe the national anthem.
That's a great idea. You know, I'm all about standing for the national anthem. I will do it at a restaurant. If I'm at a bar watching a football game, we get up. Griffin has, whenever he hears, and this is since he was 5 years old, when we started carrying the Blackhawks, he would sing the national anthem right along with Jim Cornelius. So we're big proponents, but it's not my job or my place to tell somebody else how to show their respect or to demand respect. I don't know if you can't demand respect. You can demand that someone shows.
Well, in fact, the Supreme Court has ruled that you don't have to compel people. I think specifically students was the case I think it was the Pledge of Allegiance, actually, if I'm not mistaken,
right.
You know, to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, I imagine that court case would apply to the national anthem as well.
I would think so too. Hi, Kim. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to say?
I'm just patriotic, and there's people that die so you can protest and stuff.
Yes.
And you need to show respect to the flag. I was going into work one day, and the guy was taking down the flag. I think it was being replaced because it was getting kind of worn.
Right.
And when he was taking it down, it was very close to touching the ground. And I told him, very sternly, don't let that flag touch the ground. He looked at me and go, I'm serious.
Yeah. That's how I get.
Yeah. Very patriotic. And I may not agree with what my country's doing all the time, but I love my country.
And that's how people feel. I think the conversation is there. I think that it'll be important for us to continue to have the conversation that how we treat each other, showing respect for each other, is important too. And I appreciate your comments tonight. Kim, have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's talk to David. Let me make sure I do this. And then, hi, David. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I remember when I was playing football when I was in school.
Uh-huh.
You know, from grade school, junior high, and high school. Once we got in a field, we always took up our helmets and put them on the ground, and we kneel. Well, the national anthem was playing. Well, there was the prayer, and the cheerleaders were, both teams are cheering at each other. Throughout the whole process, we're sitting on our knees.
Now that's
I don't know. I don't know if it's just because my school played against a lot of Catholic schools or not, but
Our school wasn't very big, but right. That's what we did.
Wow.
And that's impressive. I mean, that's certainly that precedes a lot of what happened here. You know, and you kneeling, you know, was for a different purpose. It wasn't at all related to what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. There, yeah.
Correct.
Exactly.
You know, I'm in my 50s, so it was a long time ago. But, you know, for an entire time frame, because we're out there for 20 minutes or whatever, they just had both teams just take a knee.
And kneeling
the entire time frame.
Kneeling in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean that that you're disrespecting the flag then.
Correct, because we're kneeling because of the prayer and then the national anthem. And then the cheerleaders are telling which team is better. And then we play our game and we figure out who is.
There you go. Have a great evening, David. Appreciate it.
So interesting story here. So Colin Kaepernick, when he initially began his protest, he actually stayed seated during the national anthem. And after he met with a fellow retired football player who who was also a veteran, they had some discussion. And it was the veteran who was the former football player who convinced him to actually kneel during the game so that Colin Kaepernick wasn't disrespecting the flag.
Interesting part of the story. David, have a great evening. Oh, this is from Mary from Roselle. Patty, I know the conversation might be over, but if anyone ever needs to dispose of their flag, the American Legion will happily take care of it. Thank you, Mary from Roselle. We appreciate that. That's an excellent point to make. In our house, we actually stand with our hand on our heart during the national anthem. I'm a veteran, and my daughters recognize that by doing it. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you from the 708. From the from 412, Americans are too sensitive. Europeans laugh at us. The flag is a piece of cloth, and someday it will turn back to dust, just like us. It's time to talk about real issues. And we will do that in just a little bit. Let me take a couple more calls, because if people are talking about this, then apparently it is real to them. Hey, Tracy, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, how you doing?
Very well, my friend. What's up?
I'm doing good, my friend. Well, Patty, as a kid in school, we all stood up with our teacher, with our hands over our hearts, saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Ever since then, as an adult, at ball games, I take off my hat, place it over my heart in respect to the national anthem. It's gotten to that point, Patty, where I think it's to each his own.
I agree. And I think, and here's why. When I do that, when I stand for the national anthem, and what I've taught my son is to reflect on what that means, on what it means to have a country where we are free to either respect the flag or to protest the flag or to think about the men and women. And we're coming up on Memorial Day just this weekend to think about what it has taken for us to get here, whether it's the men and women who fought in battle, the men and women who have worked in this country to make, you know, to make it what it is. I think that it's a moment of reflection and respect, but I think that that's
absolutely,
like you said, it's to each his own or her own.
Absolutely, because I think the problem is it's gotten too political. We were taught to believe that we believe in our First Amendment rights and also the Constitution. The First Amendment rights is, you know, in which it's the right to protest and speak our minds. You know, we can't just tell a person that they can't speak and act on how they feel and everything.
Right.
And, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's gotten so political that when they see a person kneel to the flag, like, say, for instance, Colin Kaepernick and all the rest of them, they're saying that they are disrespecting the military. They are disrespecting everything that is deeply rooted American, which is not the case. They're just expressing their constitutional rights, their freedom of speech. And we have no right to question them on their freedom of speech. It's just a shame that it's gotten to that political standpoint.
I agree, Tracy. I got to take a break here. It's great to hear from you, my friend. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too, my friend. You too.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Wellness Wednesday. Joining me in studio, I have a doctor. I have Dr. Charles J. Turk. He is an expert in pharmacy. He's a pharmacist expert, I think is the best way to put it. Charles, how are you when you go to the dentist? Are you very consistent with your visits?
I am consistent with my visits, I'm calm and collected when I go to the dentist.
I would say I'm calm and collected, but I'm not consistent. So I've got half of what you got.
Oh, so when 2 years. You say not consistent,
I just,
what do you mean by that?
It took me 2 years to go back. I was just there last Monday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I did stretch it a little bit. I got very upset with my insurance coverage and how my claims were being rejected. So then I did, I stretched it to maybe 18 months. That's the longest I've ever gone.
That's three times as long as you're supposed to.
But typically, I'm every 6 months.
How typical are we, Dr. AJ from Decision One Dental? How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very well. Seriously, how typical are we that it's part insurance, as Charles was mentioning, the way they process his forms. For me, it was just kind of like I had an appointment, then I canceled it, tried to reschedule, and I canceled it. Next thing I know, 2 years have gone by.
Yeah, there's 100 million Americans that do not go to the dentist. There's a lot of data that's going around. It's about one third of America is not headed to the dentist frequently. A lot of that is due to insurance woes. A lot of it is due to non-insurance. All areas that we're trying to fix and all areas that we're trying to get more people into the dentist more frequently.
And how can people, if they don't have dental insurance, do you have any suggestions for them? Because it seems at this point it is very much like the medical industry, where if you don't have insurance, everything is priced in the way for doctor's offices to negotiate prices. So if you don't have insurance, you can't necessarily get the price that it actually is, or a price that you can afford.
Yeah, that's a great question, Patty. Actually, having dental done, it does not cost as much as what people think. It's not like medicine. What happens in dentistry is that preventative dentistry is actually very inexpensive. Now, there's new plans out. Like, we have the Decision One Dental Plan. What that is a very low cost benefit that you can buy through our practices when you don't have insurance. It's basically a discount plan that allows people to get that benefit. The greatest thing about it is there's no maximum, there's no deductibles. You don't have to deal with submitting anything to an insurance. It's just a straight up discount plan that can help patients get care better and faster.
And that's the thing is that people still are hesitant to do anything about that. They're kind of like, there's the insurance is a big factor, right? They think, oh, it's going to cost me too much to go, or I haven't got a plan, or if I do get a dental plan, it's going to be 6 months before I can actually get anything done because there's a waiting period. There's all kinds of things that are both in place to as barriers, and also our own psychological barriers then too. A little bit of fear, a little bit of shame. There's so many different things that are, I think, beyond what we experience and going to a physical to see a doctor, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dentistry is a relationship-based business. I mean, we are in a close space area with a patient, and that does bring fear. There's also the fear of money too. My belief is that, as I was saying just now, creating that relationship with the patient is very key to making sure that a patient has trust and wants to come into the practice. The second thing is being able to look at some of the other things that you're talking about with insurance. Insurance puts in a lot of hidden guidelines that make it difficult for a patient to want to go to the dentist. They reject claims. I mean, we're up to almost 50% of claims that are put in by dentists are now rejected.
Wow.
The amount of, they're in the business not to pay for dentistry, and I find that a problem. I think that is something that we need to help our fellow patients with. There's new computer systems out. There's new technology that can help with that, can help us submit claims that are a lot better. Can help us get less rejections, and we are working on that. There are some really great new technologies that are out there.
Oh, no doubt about that. Go ahead, Charles. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, nothing gets more frustrating than that because, as a patient, who has insurance, because, I mean, there you are. You're paying your premium every month, so you figure you're covered. You're going to a dentist who accepts your plan, and then you get a claim rejected that you thought was going to be covered, and then you end up paying, out of pocket if it doesn't end up being covered in the end. I mean, that's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, Charles, I would say, what's even more frustrating is that the insurance companies send these crazy letters that make it seem as if it was either the dental office that submitted the claim wrong. And usually on our end, they're telling us, well, the claim was lost or there was like one number missing on the claim. In the end, I would probably say we actually have some data on it. 94% of all our claims that are submitted and then get rejected usually still get covered. It takes a lot of work. It takes 3, 4, maybe sometimes 6 times of resubmitting these claims in order to get the benefit for the patient. But that's our industry. We're an advocate for the patient. And if we're going to be a true advocate for the patient, then we got to go to those lengths. We got to do that 4, 5, 6 times in order to make sure that a patient is getting the benefit that they deserve. And it just takes persistence, and it takes going up the ladder in an insurance company, making sure that that the patient gets what they deserve.
And when the burden is taken care of, I think, you know, by the dentist's office, that is fantastic. When the burden falls more so to the patient, that's when I think it ends up deterring the patient from continuing to seek care.
Yeah, I'm an advocate of not letting the patient deal with it, making sure that it's put on us. That does put a lot of burden on us, but again, I think, at least in our group and in group practices, we're able to in-house an insurance person that can deal with that all day long. They also have contacts within insurance to help patients. So, at least in dentistry, we are getting a lot better at that. And patients should not have to deal with their insurance because insurance is going to make it real complicated for that patient on the phone. They want to make it complicated because they want the patient to give up. If the patient gives up, now they don't have to pay it.
For those who don't have any insurance, is there a way to negotiate, like say I'm going to pay cash and pay for the services at a rate that they can afford?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I think, again, discount plans within offices are very important. They allow large discounts that occur. You're going to get 40% to 35% off of services when you join a discount plan, and it's a very inexpensive $79 for the year for one person. I think for a family, it's $119 for the year to join a discount plan. So it's a great benefit. And if you do not have insurance, in fact, I would probably say in our practices, 33% of the patients that come in do not have insurance. So
that's a pretty significant number too.
It's a huge number. One is we have a lot of retirees that are losing their insurance. So now all of a sudden their question is, should I don't have insurance, so therefore I can't go to the dentist. And that's, we're trying to educate them to say that's not true. Number two is, before they retire, people in their 40s and 50s should start planning their dental care so when they do retire, they won't have to do a major dental work. So,
interesting point.
But that's the age group, you know, my age group, 40s to 50s, that say, well, you know what, I don't have time right now. I'm really busy. Work is really going hard, and I'm just not going to go in. Now when they get into their 50s, 55, now it's a race to, okay, I got to fit all this dental work in into a 9-year period when I retire. And you want to kind of avoid that. You want to start preventative, you want to start early, and it's costs less in the long run to do that.
I have a listener's question from the 847. Can you please ask why dental implants are so expensive? Thank you for taking my question from Brandon.
So there's two aspects. One is that the materials that they use are expensive. Okay, so the bone grafting material, membranes, and the actual implants are expensive. Two is that it's a technical procedure that takes on a lot of risk. It's more of a surgical procedure. However, you're seeing dental implants reduce in cost over the last 3 years, I would say. That dental implants are coming down in cost as more competitive suppliers come out there with implants. So that can help. Also, making of the crowns and stuff, it could be expensive. So there's just a lot of technical aspect, a lot of lab work that goes into it that creates the expense on there.
There you go. I hope that helps you, Brandon. Doc, can you hold on a moment while we take a break and come back and talk about why, first of all, why it's important to make sure you keep these, because it's not just about your teeth, it's about your overall health. And I also want to talk about the work that you guys do with the Clearbrook residents and those individuals with disabilities. Mind holding
up? Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
We're talking to Dr. AJ from Decision One Dental. For more information, you can go to DecisionOneDentalPlan.com. More in a moment on 720 WGN. With 23 locations, Decision One Dental is the fastest growing dental group in Illinois. Joining us on the line is Dr. AJ Osirno, who's and his brother, Dr. Mike Osirno, are also the team dentist for the Chicago Wolves. I'm guessing those guys keep you kind of busy, don't they, Doc?
We do stay busy when we do stuff for the team, yes.
I wanted to talk a little bit. We have a texter who is a little bit, let's say, apprehensive. He says that, or they say, people pay out of pocket. Dentists know insurance companies are overcharging. It's all collusion. I guess that's the word of the year, I'm, apparently. Are you colluding with the insurance companies?
There's definitely not any collusion with us, the insurance companies. Decreased reimbursement is occurring all over the industry. Basically, what has happened is premiums keep going up and reimbursement keeps going down. We, of course, don't like decrease in reimbursement, so we wouldn't collude with the insurance company in order for that to happen. I think what patients are starting to see and getting super frustrated with is that It is. There's a rise in cost for patients because insurances are covering less and less. So what used to be, an $800 crown, insurance would cover 80% of it. Now it's down to 50%. But now they're only covering 50% of what they would deem a necessary fee. And that fee is maybe only $600. So now instead of getting $600 from an insurance to cover a crown, now they're only getting $300. So they're right. I mean, it's getting more expensive for the patient when they're paying more premiums. I think it's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy. And it drives people away. It's one of the elements that drives people away from going to their dentist regularly. Now, having taken 2 years too long, or well, I guess then it would only be 18 months too long to go to my dentist, I was fortunate that everything was okay, except for a little bit of demineralization between my teeth.
I thought you were going to say dementia. How did they diagnose that there? What dentist are you going to?
Who knows what your teeth can do to the rest of your body, including heart disease, right, Doc?
This is true.
It is true, yes. There is a lot of affiliation. We're trying to take total health care into the dental field more and more. I think it's great for our colleagues on the medical side to do the same thing because we're shifting a lot of patients. I mean, we're taking blood pressures before and after procedures. We're going ahead and looking more at their medications. We're looking at total health of their body, especially with rapid periodontal disease and making sure that patients get in for diabetic checks and cardio checks and vice versa from our colleagues to us.
Well, Doc, how exactly does that work? You know, because some people may not see the connection. You know, they may say, okay, well, what's the connection between dental and heart disease?
Let's talk about that connection right after this break. One moment, we'll be back with Dr. AJ Osirno on 720 WGN. Before we go to the news, we wanted to make sure we address Dr. Turk's question to Dr. AJ Osirno, who is, along with his brother, the proprietor of Decision One Dental. You can go to DecisionOneDentalPlan.com. Dr. Turk had asked if we could explain the connection between dental health and heart disease. Doc, before we go, let us know about that.
Let me ask you, first, real quick, in regards to dentistry, pain in dentistry does not usually occur anymore. It used to be in the past, if you had a cavity or if you had periodontal disease, you'd have some sort of pain. With all the different types of desensitizers we have, pain doesn't reflect on a patient anymore. Usually a patient doesn't know that they have something going on.
Right.
So what happens is periodontal disease is this silent killer. And the best way I can explain it is if somebody's having a heart attack, we slip a nitroglycerin tablet underneath their tongue. It's the fastest way to the heart. So you have all this bacteria that's underneath your gums that you cannot clean. And that bacteria breaks apart into little particles and gets into your bloodstream. And that those particles can go ahead and sit on your heart valve and in your vessels. So That's one aspect. The other aspect is that, of course, it's infection. Periodontal disease is an infection of the gum tissue. When you probe a gum tissue that has periodontal disease, it bleeds like crazy. That's a sign of infection. And if you're a diabetic and you have infection, you know how that goes. It's not good. So those are just two real simple aspects of how periodontal disease and how infection within the teeth and the gum tissue can affect the overall health of the body.
This has been an excellent conversation. Doc, I'd love to carry this on with you on another night. Thank you so much for staying up with us pretty late.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
Thank you so much. And I encourage everyone, if you want more information, you can go to decisiononedentalplan.com or just Google, you know, find out who the dentists are in your community. Get in there and make sure you're taking care of yourself. Have a wonderful rest of your week and happy Memorial Day weekend, sir.
You too, Patty. Thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you. It. Of course. Talk to you again soon. Just after midnight, we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show. And don't forget, if there's any part of the conversation you want to listen to again or you missed something, every single show is podcast by our executive producer, Michael Heidemann. You can go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Leave your thoughts, and that's okay. I can take it. I've been leaving the text screen open for a few months now, Michael, so I think I've been handling it pretty well. But for the most part, let me say this. Some of you, of course, have some issues. You have some rage that you need to deal with. But the majority of people who text are delightful. And so thank you so much for joining us by text screen. I'm talking to you from the 815, the 630, the 301, the 414. So many of you tonight joining the conversation. And as you know, I try to get to your texts as quickly as possible. Sometimes the conversation has moved on. So I wish I could have gotten to all of them, including like some of the texts that we got last night while Steve Van Dinter was on the air. Mm-hmm. Steve Van Dinter, of course, our Tech Tuesday guru, was talking about these tiles that you put in your phone case to track your phone. And then we were talking about, oh, well, you can see how many people in your area have their phone linked up to that. My husband was listening and he was like, that sounds horrifying. That everyone has their phones, like they can tell how many people have this exact app. Mm-hmm. And then Charles sent me a link to the story from Gizmodo, a shady company offering police cell phone location data was just hacked. So this is sort of, you know, we talk about our men and women in uniform. This was giving away the location of our men and women in uniform. And that's not something that we don't want anyone's location, but we certainly in these days when there sometimes there are people set up an ambush, lure police officers into a dangerous situation. This seems like another layer of what is happening, Charles.
Yeah, so there's this company that aggregates data from the cell phone carriers, and you know, and apparently what it does is it provides the data to law enforcement. And part of the interesting thing about this is that it was misused and abused by a sheriff. I don't know if it's a former sheriff. I don't know if he was a sheriff at the time. And he used it in part to track other law enforcement agents illegally. So it wasn't even citizens or, you know, former inmates or people in custody. He was using it to track, and I think one of the people that he tracked was a judge. So a judge and other law enforcement, active duty law enforcement agents.
And that's something that if somebody else got that information again, it's like always that it's like that scene in some random spy movie as right where they're like, it's the hit list. If you find out where all the CIA agents are, you're going to expose them and make them vulnerable. I feel like that's what this is.
Yeah, you know, and so and it was a it, it I mean, this person, I think, is it basically denied these allegations. But the proper protocol is basically that this person checks a box off in obtaining this data and alleges that they have a warrant in place. Right. But it's basically effectively a pinky promise.
Oh, man. See, this is where, hey, look, you're one of those folks. We talk about you more often than you probably think we do in my house.
Oh, okay.
What was it? A singularity comes up in our house once in a while when you talk about basically downloading your memories into a database so that your memories can live on forever. And we talk about the sort of psychological and the philosophical ramifications of things like that. We're already kind of giving over so much of ourselves to technology. You're also a proponent of driverless cars, which in my house we are not. I'll be very, I mean, I know that we're in the infancy stages of that, but this is all the hacking stuff is,
you know, it's, no, to me, to each his own as far as driverless cars are concerned. But you know what? You know, what I have contended likely, and what I likely have suggested in conversation with you,
yes,
is that many people, that society, you know, overall, you know, is in favor of driverless cars. All you need to do is look at everybody texting while they're driving.
People don't
want to be driving. You know, they want their car to be driving because they're texting. They want to be doing work while they're driving. They want to be socializing. They want to be on social media. So I think a lot of people, in fact, I think many people don't want to be driving their cars. They just happen to be driving their cars. They'd rather be on their phone.
So you're saying because they can't afford a chauffeur, they wouldn't mind turning it over to technology.
Most of the time, that is what I'm suggesting.
I see, but as a pedestrian, as another human being, like, because we, I don't know, one, because we will never be able to eliminate the human factor, whether it's something nefarious or the fact that there's a pedestrian or a car that is being driven by a human being, we're never going to be able to eliminate that.
Oh, sure. You know, all my observation was about is what people want.
Ah, I see. That makes sense. But so with that, though, of your observation, aside from that, what do you think it's possible to be in a society that has driverless cars?
Oh, I think, yeah, you know, I do think eventually, you know, and, you know, that isn't to say that there aren't, that there aren't concerns. I mean, you know, we at the moment, you know, one of the biggest of them for me anyway is, you know, like we're talking about, yeah, you know, collusion is a huge word, you know, but, you know, we're talking about things being hacked, you know, I mean, we're talking about it in this conversation, you know, I mean, elections being hacked, you know, all of that, you know, we're talking about the power grid being hacked, you
right?
know?
Yes.
So
that's scary.
Yeah, it certainly is scary. So, yeah, you know, I mean, there are some big concerns and, you know, there's some major kinks to be ironed out. I do think that it's possible. I want major concerns of mine addressed before I see it come to fruition.
I think for many of us, I think my husband's standards are even higher than yours, because it took a long time for him to let us have, when he let us have a, and not let, but agreed to bring in a Google Mini. It's a home, it's a device that you talk to, and he enjoys it because we have it unplugged as soon as we're done using it, like if we're just walking around the house, because there's a lot of concern about conversations being heard. But for music, he loves, you know, playing music and then asking, like, who sings this, who wrote this, what year did it come out. He loves all that part of it. And I think those are the fun aspects of it. The practical aspects also important. We're going to take a break here. I want to talk about more technology because if you have been following some stories in the news in regards to these genealogy websites, maybe DNA testing, there's a couple things that I'm fascinated by. I think that there's a whole avenue that many people didn't consider when they started submitting their saliva to these companies. As have you done any of these things, the cheek swab for DNA?
I haven't, no.
I sent mine off to one company and I didn't hear back for a while, and I finally wrote them and they're like, oh yeah, we lost yours. I was like, I'm sorry. And they were like, just for $10 more, we'll send you another kit. I was like, but what about the one from before?
They're like, you recognize that there was one before. Why don't you just give me a replacement?
I don't know. They don't. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that they were going to tell you that you were part chinchilla.
Something. I believe that's the case. More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. Have you tried one of these genealogy websites? Have you submitted your saliva and had something unique happen? I'm really curious because there are people who have tracked down their birth parents. They've tracked down relative members they didn't know about. And some crime cases have been cracked. More after this on 720 WGN. Have you tried any of those genealogy websites? Maybe sent in your saliva? Have you, Charles, you've done this. Dr. Charles Turk joined us in studio. He is our pharmacist expert. You can go to Scientia CME for information about his continuing medical education company.
Thank you for the mention, Patty.
You're welcome. ScientiaCME.org.
That is correct.
Website for our nurses, our doctors, any of our medical professionals who need to keep their certifications up to date.
That is correct.
Have you done this with one or more companies?
I've done it. Well, okay. It's a little complicated. I've done it with one. I did it with 23andMe. So, you know, you pay. I understand there are some free websites out there. I don't exactly understand how those work.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust those either.
Right. Well, I think that that's how some of these ones that have been used to track down killers have worked. So exactly. I don't know how that works. I know that, you know, with the paid website, I did that. I paid, you know, I plopped down a decent amount of money. I did a cheek swab, I think. I've done so many dog ones that I've I remember scraping their cheeks.
Sure. For your cheek swab, because the one I tried that they said they lost the test, I had to really scrape like for 20 seconds or a minute or something like that. And I was like, this feels really weird. What am I doing to the inside of my
mouth? Yeah, like I said, I've done 5 dogs since doing mine. So, I know with them, I had to scrape both sides of their cheeks.
Yes. So did
I'm pretty sure that I had to do that with me too, but you know, with me it was a whole lot easier, and that may be the reason why I remember them. You know, it was a little bit more of a struggle with some.
Yeah, I would imagine between a part Rottweiler and a part Pitbull.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna be struggling with your dogs.
Man. Yes. So yeah, with me, you know, it was I've since forgotten, but in any case, So. I did it with 23andMe. I did it before they stopped doing the health aspect of their site, so I got a whole lot of health data. I took my results. I submitted them to there were some add-on sites that right. gave me additional information. They analyzed the footwork that 23andMe did, so I got some additional health information. And then there was that. So I don't think that information could be accessed by what the police did in these
cases. The Golden State Killer.
Right, exactly.
And another case we're going to talk about, right?
I think that they used the free sites that are out there.
Really?
So that's what I think.
Well, for the Golden State Killer, they were able to track him down using the DNA from an unidentified relative,
right?
Who had gone to a website, and they're not. So it was a It was a similar site,
right.
To 23andMe. It's called. I think it's called. Let's see. VitaGene and MyHeritage told CNN they were not involved. 23andMe would not divulge whether or not they were part of this investigation.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought that the site was named. And I could be wrong about that. I thought that I heard the site name and it didn't sound familiar to me.
And this is kind of, I guess, you know, for some people, I'm just curious. I want to know. For me, I would like to know if I really am, you know, I have an aunt who says that as far back as she has traced, part of our family comes from Bavaria, and they emigrated to, or I think it was actually Spain during the Inquisition, and then they fled to Bavaria because they were a Jewish family that had been marked, and so they went to Bavaria. From Bavaria, they went to France, from France to Ireland. So part of my family from Ireland. My mother says that I have a Native American heritage, and so we're kind of curious. My interest in it is out of curiosity. If you know, it just so happens that one of my relatives was, if they use my information to perhaps nab one of my relatives for having murdered somebody, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. And maybe that's the beauty of being estranged from my family. maybe I'm speaking from a different point of view.
I'll tell you what, I feel the same way, and I'm not estranged from my family.
Ooh, so you're saying that if one of your siblings or a distant cousin was tracked down for having done something, you'd be fine with that.
Honestly, it is obviously a whole lot easier to say the more distant the relative.
Sure.
And I think in most of these cases, it's been, in fact, I think both of the cases that I've read, it's been distant relatives.
Yes.
You know, they've been removed from the relatives who have been, by at least, you know, I don't know, like two cousins removed at least, or 2 degrees. And those are typically the types of relatives that I find on these websites. They're like at least 3 degrees, you know, third degree relatives. So, you know, I mean, it's fairly far removed. But in any case, yeah, I mean, like, these people are sort of faceless to me. I wouldn't mind that. But, you know, if a sibling, honestly, you know, if a sibling, the way that I feel about it in theory,
yes.
Talking about it right now, is that if a sibling, you know, commits, you know, a murder or a rape or something along those lines, then that's a choice that they make. And it's not...
it's not on you to protect them.
It really isn't. And, and effectively law enforcement is doing their job, you know,
yes.
in using the tools that are now available.
And giving another family at least a piece of the puzzle. You're never going to make them feel whole again. happen. The one of the cases that was cracked by the DNA information was a 1987 double homicide. And again, this was a genealogy website that helped police crack a cold case.
GED match.
I am all about this. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah, this is a moral breach we're talking about, you know. So, I mean, protecting, not that we have a choice in the matter when this is done, but protecting a relative, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, again, not that it's our choice in that case, but I don't necessarily want to be involved in that. I don't want to be covering up for a murder or a rape. I'd be curious as to what listeners feel about
right.
that.
What would you, does the idea of the police, you know, and this is, I think that a lot of cold cases, a lot of cops that are working these cold cases, and there are police officers, detectives who are so invested in helping find answers, and knowing a detective that helped bring the killer of my brother was murdered when he was a teenager, and I know the detective who broke that case, and I am eternally grateful for being able to meet with him, to talk to him, what it took for him to get that done, how much of his life he devoted to that. And the idea that these DNA websites can help other families like mine and can help police departments, you know, put to rest some of these cases, I'm kind of in love with it. So are you, does this affect you at all? Were you curious about these DNA websites and now you're like, oh, I don't know. What if like they find out more? From the 414, personally, I do not trust any of these DNA testing sites. I am too afraid of the possibility of nefarious things being done. Then again, maybe I'm paranoid. And I don't think you're paranoid. My husband hates that I submitted my DNA and then it got lost. So it's not nefarious. It's irresponsible.
Well, there's actually a connection to why we talked about the cell phone issue just before. And yes. I think that there are two separate issues, you know, at stake here. I think, you know, personally, you know, and it's worth putting this question out, too. Do there need to be guidelines in place? Now, you know, when we do genetics research in medicine, there are very strict ethical guidelines. And, you know, so the question is, do there need to be similar guidelines for law enforcement in place, you know, and judicial proceedings,
right.
you know, that don't exist possibly right now? So do there need to be laws that are written, you know, to help guide this process?
Oh, boy. It ought to be a law. 312-981-7200. Wait, we have music for that, don't we? What is this?
Ooh, yeah. What is that? What is that? I don't like that.
Ooh, yeah. Hold on. Wait for it, Michael. Michael's like, I haven't heard this.
This is a call to all. It ought to be
more after this on 720 WGN. We're going to talk about some White Sox baseball in just a few moments because John Bolger has joined us in the studio. Before we get to baseball, I have to ask John, have you ever tried any of these DNA websites?
I have. We have.
Oh, have you really?
We did Ancestry DNA.
Uh-huh.
And it's so funny because you actually put saliva into a tube.
Yes. Well, okay. That's a good point. Now, Charles and I were talking about the ones where you swab your cheek.
You know what? I may have done that. I honestly can't remember. I've done so many of these.
Well, there are ones where you spit.
I feel like I'm pleading guilty to something I didn't even do.
You know,
yes.
I've done adrenal tests. I've done so much.
Do I have PED?
From our, oh, by the way, to our 630, no more rage in the cage. Greetings from Carmel. Your pooch is adorable. Does that sound okay the way that I said that?
Yeah, rage in the
someone's,
cage. Like
someone's puppy dog is back home. So welcome home. And thank you to the 414 for your kind words. I appreciate that. I've submitted to one of the DNA sites, and they said they lost my test. And so I'm a little bit,
was that air quotes? They lost
yes.
your test.
I'm like, are they using my DNA to create something else? Do they find something there? They're like, oh, we must bottle this.
Hey, Patty, look in Jurassic World when there's a version of you.
well, there's that woman that they used her cancer cells in order to like study all kinds of, what was her
they
name?
They did that. Yeah, the woman, it was a biopic movie. Or,
yes, I saw it on, okay, you know yeah. what? I better Google before we,
you before know, we guess.
You were probably too hard a nut to crack. You know, you were yes. just so complicated, you know, that they just couldn't cop to it. Yeah, they were like, you know what? We lost it. You know what?
We can't.
Yeah, but the fact is,
we don't understand.
Just they, yeah, they couldn't figure you out.
We think centuries ago your family was Jewish, and then they were Mexican, and we don't know what happened along the way.
Like, you know,
it's
what?
Very confusing.
Screw this.
Yes.
You know what?
They were excited about the taco. It's so funny because I feel like when they're looking through your DNA strands, they're like, she has no thymine. There's no thymine. Well, how can this happen?
Well, you know, I'm missing one bottom front tooth. So it's entirely possible that there's some DNA, like something. I always like to think that I evolved. Maybe it was an evolutionary thing. Maybe I've got something.
You have the D in the end, just not the A?
Yes, I don't have the A.
This woman has 8 molars, 92 chromosomes. We can't.
Which, by the way, I know would be the acid if I was missing my A. Emphasis on the ass. Anyway, so this is, oh, look at that. It's after 12:30 at night.
Oh, good times.
The only reason I know what DNA stands for, Michael, off the top of your head, could you say the word that DNA stands for?
Dinucleic acid.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
I totally was taking the word out of my...
There's only one reason why I know this.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
I've been saying this wrong for years.
Deoxyribonucleic.
Well, I was quoting a 5-year-old at the time.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Well, that's the perfect
excuse. That's where I get most of my info from, too.
Yes, my 5-year-old. Well, Griffin was 5 years old. I was sitting at the dining room table working on some project, and Griffin goes, hey, Mommy, what do you think God thought about dinosaurs? And I was like, well, he's 5, right? So I was like, well, you know, he made some of them fly, and he gave some of them really long necks so they could eat from trees, and they would be vegetarians, and some of them have really short arms so they couldn't, you know, feed themselves.
You're a good mom.
Right. I was like, well, I said God was experimenting, you know? He was just kind of like seeing what he liked and just playing around, and he goes, oh, Mommy, that's not how it happened. See, God made sure that the Big Bang happened, so all the primordial ooze had deoxyribonucleic acid present so that all life forms could emerge as a result of environment and accident.
I'm sorry, you have a bad case of a wonderfully smart child.
I know, but I was sitting there, I was like...
Who may have had a head cold at the time and who may have been pronouncing it right.
Deoxy. Yeah, he probably said deoxy. And I went like this, I go, deoxy what?
That's the other thing I was going to suggest,
yes,
too.
Yes, I probably...
may have actually had it right.
I was trying to keep up.
Deoxy cotton nothing sauce?
Exactly. I was like, I go, deoxy what? And he goes,
You got the pained gasp.
And he goes, DNA, Mommy. And I was like, okay, take it down a notch. And tomorrow you're going to martial arts because
no,
people
you know
are going to kick your ass.
Means, do not start.
Either way, you are out of this house tomorrow.
Yes. I'm not kidding you. I signed up Griffin not long after that for martial arts. When you have a kid who talks like that to you, you know they're going to get their butt kicked. You just know it's going to be next.
Well, I'm glad that you are preparing him to defend himself.
Oh, he's a blue belt now. 9 years later, my kid's like, if I touch him on the shoulder, I'm in a headlock. I don't even know what happened. I'm like, I just wanted to say I love you. And next thing I know, my own palm was up against my face, and I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's 1 second later. And then 2 seconds later, you're in a pretzel.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I just said I love you. What's happening here?
Am I doing yoga? This is awkward.
Maybe you should stop saying you love him.
I love... I went into the kitchen one day and Steve was playing on our Google Mini. We was playing some swing music.
Oh, I love Google Mini.
Oh, I do too. And I went into the kitchen and I put my hand out for Griffin to dance with me. And he turned around and he did some weird Daniel LaRusso thing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to ask you to not do that ever again.
From a pure place, this wonderful moment that mom wants to have. And he's just like, I think she can take me. I've got to stop this.
That's what I asked him. I'm like, what have we ever done in this house that makes you think you need to block to do wax on, wax off to me? Is all I'm asking you right now. What was this?
Big mistake. He sees your arm out and he thinks of you as mom trap.
You know what I did? I swept a leg. More to this on 720 WGN. You know who was kung fu fighting tonight over at Comiskey? Were they in town?
They are.
They're in town playing the Orioles.
Yep.
Do you ever feel like when there's a big blowout, 11-1, like the White Sox had tonight, you're like, could you just save a few of those runs for another? I mean, like, I know when the Cubs do that, I'm like, come on. Just.
It's Aesop's fable where I'm just like, just store some nuts here and then just spread them out a little.
Yeah, don't, you know.
Over several weeks.
Put the nuts in one place.
The nuts and the bolts.
Just saying. So 11-1 against the Orioles. And how are the Sox doing in the standings?
Right now,
as a result,
we are third from dead last. But guess what? We won our first series in forever. I think the first series we won was like with the Twins, or we split. This is the first series we won. It was against the Strangers, the Texas Rangers. So, and now we've won 2 out of 3 for them. So the tomorrow, the afternoon game, I just hope we win.
Are people hoping for a turning point in the season? Like now?
So this isn't about...
I get the rebuilding thing. Don't say it again. Don't say rebuilding.
It's not rebuilding.
I'm going to throw things at you.
So chuck it.
Okay, no, I can't. I almost hurt Paul one night with a pen I threw at him, so I'll try to be careful.
I can duck lamps.
Don't say rebuilding.
I know. We're not... So what's wonderful about this, and this is what makes it so magical, you have this hustle and this fight, and fans see it. They can see it in the players' never quit attitude. So when you're not very good, you never stop because you don't know any better. So you just go, we're in everything, because you have no construct against it. That's why everybody's been fighting every game, because they don't, they're like, we're already losing. What's worse than losing? You fight.
No kidding. Exactly.
You just fight.
Well, and that's the thing too, is that I think that the White Sox do a great job, both the management, I think the team, of keeping fans involved. I think that for me, when the Cubs were struggling, it seemed as though we've talked about this before,
yeah,
where the fans always showed up, whereas the Sox were like, tell me when you're good again.
We're
a little
very,
bit
very,
a little
so
fair weather, a little fair weather.
Let me tell you, I'm
just saying,
we're the bad American Idol judge. So we are very rude. We're just very judgmental. We'll just be like, yeah, that was nice. Your footing is off, and your hair looks weird, and you got funky teeth.
Yeah.
So we're more honest. So when you play well, that park is packed. When you don't, it's not. But what I've noticed is I've seen butts in the seats.
Yeah.
Sonya and I watched that on TV, and I'm like, wow, that's a good crowd.
It's a party at Comiskey, and that's what I'm calling it. Do not correct me, please. Thank you.
Never?
All right. No. No. I don't care. I don't even know what it is anymore.
It's not an outdoor beer garden that it used to be on the north side. But here's the thing. You guys don't know how good you had it. And that's the thing. The Cubs fans and the Cubs fan base was so and is incredibly loyal to the best. They are the best spouse you could ever have.
No matter what's in sickness and in health.
And I'm telling you, man.
That's how people need to see their fandom. They need to go in sickness and in health.
And we're like the bad guy who's just like, yeah, so you got a sickness? Good luck with that.
Yeah. Why don't you go make me some dinner?
Yeah.
Why don't you go, why don't you clean the house a little bit while you're at it?
These dishes aren't going to clean themselves.
Come on, let's clean up around here a little bit.
How about it?
Well, I do think it's have you been at all to either ballpark? I know you've been to a couple of Blackhawks games, both here and on the road, Charles.
I've been every sport.
Every sport. So which ball field have you been to?
I like the food.
The food is good.
The people are good.
I would say Comiskey has his beat on the north side when it comes to the food. But I mean, part of it is also the atmosphere.
Yes.
Having my grilled dog on onions from Wrigley, I can't.
It's good.
I'm so hungry.
It's so good.
It's so here's the thing too about Wrigley. You get the history. Mm-hmm. So when you go there, you're stepping through a time machine,
right?
And you get to feel all that with the food. I would say Comiskey is more, you go there and you're having a blast. You're seeing these young people scrap and fight and hustle and never quit. And you're getting good food and you get the craft cave. So if you like IPA beer, man, you go. My brother is a IPA nut, Jay, and he's a madman about IPAs.
Great drinks there. I have great beers.
Which is better than IUDs. That's different.
It's definitely better than that.
Because that leads to DUIs.
Let me tell you something. I've never run into any IUDs at any of these places, and I've also never had a bad time at any of these games.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And the other thing I love about Comiskey, and again, going to keep saying Comiskey.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Is it the that area where you come, because I had never been to the sort of the general, I don't know if it's, what do you call I'd been up in the
nosebleeds,
the wall climber.
Yeah, the nosebleeds, where you can see through time.
It's very strange up there.
You're like, hey, what?
So I didn't know what was going on down there. It is a big party down there.
It is so
it's
much
so
fun.
Festive.
Everybody's in every pitch. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
The fan base actually has conversations. So since there's not as many people, they're like, oh, did you see that? Like, it's very communal. It is. Once you're a Sox fan, you are always a Sox fan. And good or bad, you call it like it is. You really do. And that's what makes our fan base so fun. We're fun to be around.
Yes.
Just just like the Cubs.
It's hard when they find out you're a Cubs fan. It is amazing how many Cubs fans will go incognito, and like one of their friends will be like, and by the way, she's a Cub fan. And then, but there'll be one Cubs fan in that group of friends, and they're like, and we do kind of like a slow down, like a high five down low, a low
like,
five.
Real Sox fans, if you know your acumen in your baseball, don't care. You're one of us. You're fine.
Well.
It's a good thing.
And you mentioned the history of Wrigley. Obviously, Comiskey's been rebuilt. Now it's been renamed a couple of times. But what I love, too, is that when you come through the parking lot, you can see the original home plate.
Yep.
And I've gone and stood there in the batter's box where, of course, many legendary players stood, you know, or stood behind, like Ron Kittle.
Do you know what's a common thing that fans do all the time?
Bench, yes.
Dads and kids have catch. They have catch there at the
yes.
old plate all the time. It's awesome.
I've had Griffin stand in the batter's box because my dad loved the history of baseball. So I love standing in the spot where Shoeless Joe Jackson once held
his
on his shoulder. So stuff like
that. I mean, the Black Sox, yes, that's a black eye. But if you look at the quality of play, hang on, this is on both sides of town. If you look at the early 1900s through the 1920s, the Cubs and the Sox were royalty in baseball.
Right. Oh,
they
God,
were,
yes.
They were legends.
Yeah. There was nothing like it. Go ahead, Charles.
No, I'll tell you what. Part of what's liberating about not being a fan at all
of either team.
Right. You know, is going there and enjoying the fact that the fans are enjoying themselves and really genuinely feeling happy for both sets of fans when the team. Well, I actually sometimes, regardless of whether the team is doing well or not, really the only time that I don't appreciate the fans is when people are being completely drunk and obnoxious. But then I don't think in those cases, the other fans who aren't being drunk and obnoxious are appreciating those particular people either. So
I haven't had any problems at Wrigley. I kind of get the energy.
Yeah.
Right. It's something I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So, but when I went to Comiskey, it seemed as though everyone was just having a good time. There was no.
It's.
They were
no
all.
Ego.
They were in
there's
it. On it.
Yeah, that's largely been my experience. So, I that's something I really enjoy about it.
What's so we have one more game against the Orioles?
We do tomorrow. It's on WGN Radio, so make sure to tune in. It's going to be at 1:10 first pitch.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I've checked it. I've looked ahead. There's only a couple. Ez and I were looking at the schedule. There's only a couple games.
When
that
are we
really
going?
Anytime you want. It's not that hard to come buy tickets. I mean, you guys are, I know you're in a rebuilding.
Right now, it's not only rebuilding. The worst part about it is when they're commenting how quick a kid can pound a ton of ice cream out of a helmet, and that's the major takeaway story in a loss.
Well,
it's like, wow, he ate like 2 pounds of ice cream in like 5 minutes.
And that's when the broadcasters are like, oh, let's watch the ice cream again. What is your walk-up? What's your at-bat song?
Mine? Yeah. Mine's going to be U2, Where the Streets Have No Name.
Ooh.
No question.
All right. I have to figure out what my walk-up song
what
is.
What
would mine be?
Yeah.
I have to think it would probably be something by AC/DC.
Nice. A little Thunderstruck or Back in Black.
I like Thunderstruck. I think a little Thunderstruck.
Oh,
yep. All right.
Such a good song.
Chris, I'm sorry. Charles, do you have a walk-up song?
No, I'm sorry, but you just sort of stole my thunder with that. But, that is a fantastic song. I mean, that's their, as far as I'm concerned, that's their best song.
I could also do Flat Bottom Girls.
Ooh, I like that. I like that, or Gwen Stefani, Holla Back
Girls, my walk-up song. More after this on 720 WGN. By the way, Dr. Lars Dingman is on the air after 1 a.m. if you're ready to do your reading, if you've been hanging back. And by the way, yes, I'm giving some of you a heads up, but it'll be a great conversation. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN.
Can you read my mind? Can you read my mind?
You know, whenever you have a psychic on the show and I think about, can they read my mind? I think that if Dr. Lars Dingman could read my mind, he would go running in a different direction. Dr. Dingman, do you avoid certain people's energy because you're like, you know what, I don't even want to know. I got a glimpse into your psyche and I can't spend any time there.
If people don't invite me in psychically, then I can't get in there, if that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense. We were having a little bit of trouble with your connection. Are you on a landline? I'm sorry. Pardon me?
Can you hear me now, Patty? I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yes. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. What I was saying is if people don't want me to read them or are uncomfortable in some way, then I won't. It puts up like a wall. so I can't do it. So I can't really do it against people's will. I heard what you were saying. I'm sure walking through your mind would be a fantastic stroll.
it would be treacherous, to say the least. I want to, you know, John Bolger, who joins us every week.
I would not wear open-toed shoes, for sure. I would wear closed-toed shoes. But I would go.
There's a lot of broken glass there, isn't there, Dr. D?
Let's say that. Let's say it's broken glass.
Broken dreams, sure.
There it is. There it is. Yep, there it is. And I think you're also familiar with our guest, Dr. Charles Turk, who's in studio with us as well with you.
Dr. Dingman, you might have to wear stilettos in my mind.
Wow.
Ooh.
It makes the walking slower.
Yes, it sure does.
That's 50 shades of hey, hey.
there's plenty to parse through, though, so you may want to take a slow stroll through.
Well, I'm happy to walk through whoever's mind would like to, open it up for me today.
Hey, back off a little bit, Doc, will you? Dr. Ooh. Lars Dingman joins us on the line. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic, and we invite you to join us at 312-981-7200. I know there is a temptation to text us your three songs. The idea is that Dr. Dingman takes the last three songs that you randomly heard. Why three? It's a good sampling, right? It's an idea of what the universe is sharing with you, what the universe has put out there for you. And if it was five songs, that'd be a little bit rough, wouldn't it be, Dr. Dingman?
Yeah, well, the three. One represents the past, one represents the present, and the last one represents the future. And from those three data points, I'm able to see what the universe is trying to tell people. And it's different, obviously, for every person, because every person is different.
And sometimes maybe the universe just wants you to have a good groove on in your car.
Right. Sometimes people, the readings we get are people that are on the right track, and the universe is just saying, keep up the good work. It's like getting a smiley face on your math paper. It's good. Positive reinforcement is good for you. Sometimes, the universe smacks you in the face. That's all.
Well, that's what we've come to learn, I believe, over the last year or so. I don't know if you realize this, Dr. Dingman. This week I celebrate my fourth year at WGN. It was 4 years ago this week that Todd Manley invited me into his office and asked me if I would consider being the full-time host Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And again, I always feel like I'm sort of holding a spot for Steve and Johnny, but they keep coming back and saying they don't want it. So I'm still here. But I think what we've learned over the last year or two doing these incredible segments with you, and again, I want to thank you for being so generous with your time with our listeners. I know that you travel all over the world providing these skills for people at conferences and one-on-one sessions. So I know that you're in high demand, and I love that is this part for you, to kind of take it out of that very stressful one-on-one situation where you can share it with a bigger audience?
Yeah, I enjoy doing it on the radio because the anonymity, I believe, makes people a little more honest. Sometimes when they're looking at me across a table, they're a little intimidated to, if I say something that is true, they don't want to accept it or, let me believe it. And the anonymity of the radio is a good thing. Also, the sheer physics of what radio is, we're having a conversation, and then via vibrations, it's being propagated to the world on the terrestrial radio and, of course, on the interweb. It goes literally. It encircles the globe. What we're saying right now is instantaneously transmitted to anyone with the desire to hear it. So it's really the fastest, most effective way to amplify the vibrations that I'm trying to help people understand.
And I encourage those of you listening to call us at 312-981-7200, and you can share the last three songs you randomly heard, whether it was in the car, on your shuffle, on your iPad, on your Android, and Dr. Lars Dingman will decipher what the universe is trying to share with you about your present, your past.
Glad you did.
Exactly. 312-981-7200. And before we take a break here, Dr. Dingman, I did want to ask you, I know last week when we spoke, you did not really know too much yet about the Yanni Laurel phenomenon. Have you learned anything more about that since we last spoke?
Yes, I have. And my opinion has not changed. I think it's an epic waste of attention and time. It's something that can occupy for 2 seconds, but as the internet often does, it's fetishizing and fixating on something simply, I believe, because it's very simple to converse about. It's much easier to converse about that than a complex idea or something that's more traditionally important. I don't begrudge people it, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's a weak fart.
In a tub, yeah, like in a communal tub. Yeah, okay, yeah, it happened. Next, you know.
There you go. You say fetish, I say latex bodysuit. More after this on 720 WGN. We hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is our White Sox Wednesday guest, John Bolger.
Yes, won tonight.
Yes, and for Wellness Wednesday, we've been hanging out with Dr. Charles J. Turk. By the way, they didn't just win. It was an 11-1 shellacking.
They saved the runs.
They whooped the Orioles. Oh, Dr. Dingman's got it. Now you have an echo. Hello?
I'm here. Is that me echoing or you echoing?
It's me echoing.
It's okay. It makes it sound like you're much larger than you are in person.
I feel like Ant-Man in Civil War. I'm huge. Okay. How do we fix this one, Michael? Do we try again?
Dr. Dingman, do you have your radio on by chance?
No, because it would be on delay.
Yeah, no, I do not. I'm just listening on the telephone here.
Oh, interesting. All right, so let's let me try to reestablish the line really quick.
This is fantastic.
Sometimes when I'm on the road and I broadcast from another location, that's what it sounds like in my head.
I thought I was just really high. I would tell you if I was. I mean, who said that?
As we set up, by the way, Wendy, you hang on there. We will get you in a moment for a reading with Dr. Lars Dingman. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. We made him hang up his cell phone because it was sounding a little tinny, but I will take tinny over hearing my own voice.
Have
you ever done comedy in a long venue? I was in Indianapolis, and it was their theater, but they have a ballroom, and the sound would bounce back to me, and I would interrupt my own jokes.
Yep.
Oh. It was very startling.
It's like a stuttering handball. Do you remember the roundhouse in Aurora?
Oh,
the roundhouse
yes.
was
Same
that
thing.
Way, but yep. vertically tall.
Yes.
Where, like, I couldn't, it would make it like the cacophony. I'd be like on my third joke setting a pin, and then I'd hear the other part, and I'd be like, wait, where am I?
It's so unsettling. Let's see if we've straightened this out with Dr. Lars Dingman. Hey, Dr. Dingman, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Patty. I think I know what's going on. I don't know if you follow the news, but there is a lot of volcanic activity and a lot of vibrational anomalies happening on the planet right now. What happens is when these tectonic plates collide, I'm sure you understand the Pacific Rim. The reason there are all these volcanoes in the Pacific is because there are the tectonic plates underneath the ocean are bumping against each other. They create friction, and that creates volcanic activity. That has an effect all over the planet. And radio has been messed up today. Telephones are messed up. Cell phone. All the vibrational norms of our planet are currently disrupted, and I believe it's causing people a lot of anxiety and upset.
There's a sinkhole at the White House.
And Mar-a-Lago, oddly enough. Here, let's go to Wendy. Yeah. She would love to have a reading done. Wendy, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Thank you so much for waiting patiently. Dr. Lars Dingman, I would love to introduce you to Wendy. Take it away, Dr. Dingman.
Wonderful, Wendy. What are the last three songs that you randomly heard?
Well, the last one was Need You Now by Lady Antebellum. The one prior to that was Broken Wings for Mr. And then What It's Like from Everlast.
Okay, so What It's Like, Broken Wing, and Need You Now.
Need You Now, yeah.
Yeah. Have you just broken off some sort of relationship, either romantic or friendship in your life?
Probably, yeah, borderline friendship relationship.
Yeah. That's what's happening. I see a rift opening up, a rift in your life, and that's what these songs are talking about. That's the broken wing. You can't fly if you have a broken wing. And this person, it's not coming through as a straight romantic relationship. Is it more of a friendship?
Well, it was working its way to that, but yeah.
But it fell apart. You were going from
right.
the friend zone to the lover zone, and you hit a traffic cone, basically.
Right. right.
Yeah, yeah. And this is upsetting to you more than it is to this other person.
Probably. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And this is upsetting you, correct? It's not good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, in a way.
Okay, because that's the need. I need you. The one song. Need. That word, I think the universe is getting you to focus on. I mean, what do you truly need in the world, do you think?
Oh, wow. That's a hard question. I don't know. Probably to know that everything's going to be okay, you know, as far as, I don't know, everything in life, you know, health and finances
right,
and
but
everything
Wendy,
like that.
That's the thing, Wendy. That's impossible. We can never be assured that everything in life is going to be okay because it's not, you know, things in
right.
life go wrong. So if you're constantly waiting for some sort of sign that everything is going to be okay, you spend your whole life on the sidelines and you don't get into the game.
It's an adventure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's definitely been an adventure, for sure.
Right. And I feel that broken wing is what the universe is saying, is that you feel like you cannot fly without this person that you were taking a shine to and that you were becoming more and more involved with. And you feel like now your wings are clipped. You can't go on. And I don't think that that's accurate. I think you have your own wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if this person
correct.
Doesn't want to fly with you, if they don't want to fly with you, you know, don't fly with them. There are plenty of people who will want to fly with you. And the trick, the adventure, is finding someone that wants to fly alongside you because they want to, not because they have to.
That's some excellent advice.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think what we have to do, Wendy, is change your vibration because I feel right now that you feel very isolated and alone. True or false?
In a way, probably true, yeah.
Okay. So what we have to do is we have to open up your vibration. We have to get you more in touch with the Wendy that you are, because that's really all you have, right? You can be married, you can have kids, you can have friends, blah, 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 blah. But really, all you truly have is you, your own soul or self or whatever you want to call it. And you have to make your peace with that. If you're happy on the inside, it's like you ever touch a cast iron skillet? You know, like in the cartoons, the cat would pick up the cast iron skillet and whack the mouse in the face, and then the skillet would take the face of the mouse. You know what I'm saying? That kind of skillet.
Oh, yeah. right?
Old Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, right. If you leave that on the stove, on the heat, on the flame for a long time, it gets really hot, but it doesn't look hot. And you forget that, and you put your hand on it, and you get burned. And I think that's what's happening to you. You're not aware of all the good things you have in your life, and you're burning yourself. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay. So the way to move away from constantly burning yourself is, you know, don't when the phone rings, don't pick up the skillet and hold it to your head and say hello. You have to be comfortable with yourself, so we're going to change your vibration. Right now, you're feeling very lonely. What we want to do is raise your vibration into a togetherness. Do you remember the Beatles? They were a rock and roll band in the 60s. Are you familiar with their work?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had a song called Come Together, and there was a riff at the beginning of that song. Boom, 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 a doo, boom, 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 doo, doo. You know the riff I mean? That's it.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Okay. What I need you to do is stand in front of a mirror or a window, and I want you to make that riff with your face. Make the sounds of that riff with your mouth, because what it is, it's a low bass riff, and what it'll do, it will shake your vibration into a new level, a more cohesive level that will make, it will help you become more comfortable with yourself. That's the problem. You're not comfortable with yourself, and you should be. All right, so let me hear it. Let's try it once, and then we'll move on from there.
Oh, that's okay. Now I have to remember it. Come together.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Wendy, you're not committing to it. You're making the noise, but you don't believe it. You're not feeling it. You're just saying it. I need you to feel it deep.
Oh, I don't know if I can. I'm trying to remember it as better from the beginning.
Yeah, that's it. You're starting to get it.
Yeah.
You're getting it. You're getting it. You got to feel it.
Come on, you can do this. Dig deep.
I'm trying.
Come together. Come on, I don't even sing in public. Come on.
Yeah, you got it. Tap into that inner Bootsy Collins. Boom, 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 boom. Famous bass player. Famous bass player. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom,
boom, Michael, boom. We lost her. She was all in. She was getting it. Wendy was on top of that.
Beautiful.
You know me.
Quick music break.
One thing I can tell you is right. You got to believe.
Come together. I'm sorry.
Boy, this is like bad karaoke. Sorry,
I apologize, everyone involved. More after this on 720 WGN. The world-renowned iTunes psychic takes the last three songs that you randomly heard and does a reading for you. Those three songs represent your past, present, and future, and we encourage you to give us a call. It's your opportunity to have a reading done by him on the air. 312-981-7200. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show on WGN Radio. Before we return back to Dr. Dingman and, again, our phone line, we have one phone line open, 312-981-7200. I'm going to be a little bit greedy, and I want to get a reading done for John Bolger because I know he has three songs. I also want to thank our friend Peter in Sauk Village who shared a lot of insight on volcanoes. I can't get to all of it, Peter. You wrote me a little bit of a thesis here. It's a lot of information, but tectonic activity. It's not caused by tectonic activity. The moving of the Pacific plate over the hotspot in the mantle that is creating the series of volcanic islands is what making them a series and not just one monster island. The plate that is on the ocean floor there is moving to the northwest. And see, this is a lot. There is already a volcanic seamount to the southeast of the Big Island and the Hawaiian chain. See, this is a lot, Dr. Dingman.
You get a doctorate. You get a doctorate. Yes. You get a doctorate.
Unless something really odd happens. Yes?
The tectonic plates are not causing the volcanic action. They're really all that movement and activity, they're related to each other. The plate doesn't cause the volcanic activity. If anything, it's the other way around. The pressures, the molten core and the magma bubbling and finding a crack pushes the plates around. But there's, you know, how I don't know if you've ever been out west where they have the earthquakes, but animals, right before an earthquake, in the hours or so before, dogs, cats, everyone starts behaving weirdly because they sense these subsonic vibrations bubbling up from beneath the earth. And that's what's happening all over the world tonight. That we've been having all these phone problems. People are upset. The first woman that called in tonight, Wendy, was having trouble with love. Her line went dead and she hasn't called back. So that's not a good sign. I think people just need to take a big, deep breath. Sometimes you gotta shake off some crap before you can get back to a new normal. You know, it's like growing pains. When you're a little kid, it hurts sometimes. when you grow. But then the next thing you wake up, you're 4 inches taller and you're happy.
It's much better than groin pains.
Oh, that is for sure. Yeah.
That's what I thought that show was about, the TV show.
Show me that smile again. Why would you smile if it's groin pains?
See, this is where
depends on what the pain is.
This is where gerunds are important. Sorry, I'm going back to my grammar geekiness. All right, Dr. Dingman. Dr. Dingman, by the way, we do have one more line open, but before we do that, 312-981-7200. I know it's been a few weeks since we've done a reading for John Bolger, but I always feel like his present, past, and future are so up in the air and chaotic and a mystery. I would love to get a reading done for John.
What are your last three songs that you randomly heard, John?
Absolutely, Dr. D. And by the way, I love your work.
Thank you, John.
It's Feel It Still by Portugal. That's the Feel It Still by Portugal. I've got Cities in Dust by Susie and the Banshees.
Okay.
And then I've got Heart, the Essential Heart, the band Heart, Nothing at All.
Producer Michael Heidemann would like to correct you. It's Portugal the Man.
Oh, Portugal the Man. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you sing a little bit of that for us? Just so I.
Because. It's got my heart on a shelf.
I just want to be in the mood. I want to know what we're talking about.
Do you know this?
I don't. Feeling on little now. I love that you thought I would know any of that. Okay, Dr. Dingman, take it away on those three songs.
So, Portugal the Man, what are the other two?
It's Susie and the Banshees, Cities in Dust, and Heart, the band Heart, Nothing at All.
Wow, Cities in Dust, Nothing at All, Portugal the Man. This is a dire, bleak set of songs. Like you're lost in a cloud, or you're frustrated and feeling ineffectual about something. Was there some project that you were recently working on that you thought was going to happen and be good for you, and that recently crapped the bed?
Yeah. I mean, yes. That is, you're accurate. You're very accurate, Dr. D.
And this was a creative endeavor of yours. I'm seeing letters dancing around like a serial alphabet soup. This was a creative thing you've been working on, and it fell through?
Yeah. It's, as you know, with comics, there's two things go through and about 15 don't. So and out of the 15, there's one you really want to go. Yeah, one didn't go. You're completely correct.
Yeah, that's the bleak. That's the bleak. The heart song. I think, as you just alluded to, the universe is pointing out to you that, you know, not every bird in your hand is going to turn into a bush. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And you have to make your peace with, that's part of the creative endeavor. You make your peace with the risk of putting yourself out there, right? And trying to do something different. And lots of times you fall on your face. Certainly more often than people who are not in the creative endeavor are used to. And it's a very brave thing. That you do. Not brave like jumping in front of a bus to save a baby, but you're putting yourself out there, and it's brave, right?
Yeah. And you feel vulnerable.
That's the word, vulnerable. And I think this is the universe's way of saying, don't let these setbacks stop you from reaching for the stars and for trying to break the mold and for trying to accomplish bold things. You're always going to fail. Ted Williams was the greatest hitter in the history of baseball, and he failed 60% of the time.
Oh, wow. True. Wow. That's a better way to look at it, because when you get so down, you can't see the forest from the trees, and just knowing that, that's kind of, I'm going to have a spring in my step.
Well, you know, that was that other song, the one about the city. What was it called? The title?
Cities in Dust.
Right. If your city is filled with dust, you can't see anything. You're stuck in the forest without the trees. You've lost your perspective. And what the universe is saying is, don't lose your perspective. This is the normal course of affairs in your line of work, in a creative endeavor. It's failure is the rule, not the exception. Uh-huh. And what keeps, you have to keep plugging and keep focusing, and you have to believe in your talent and in your gift. And the more you believe in it, the better your average will be. Really, it's that simple. It's difficult to walk that walk, but this is the universe giving you a pat on the butt and saying, you know, you'll get them next time.
That could not be more accurate. That is really thoughtful and right on the money.
Wow.
I need to invest in feather dusters too.
I feel like I'm covered in dust every night I come in here. Dr. Dingman, before we go, I don't know if you're aware, but we are moving from the legendary Tribune Tower very soon. I'm not sure how many more broadcasts I have left in the studio, and I know that we've had the pleasure of welcoming you into our showcase studio. I'm sorry that you won't have a chance to see it before we go.
It's a very, very disturbing thing. I understand that there are economics at play at your company there in Chicago that are making this happen. But again, I always think of things from a vibrational standpoint. And for, you know, almost 100 years, there has been a vibration or radio wave coming out of that building in that city in the center of this country that has brought people together through World War II, good things, bad things. And it's a beacon that people are attached to. And I think there's a certain sadness that it's going to move into just another place. It's sad, you know. I think it's not damaging, but disruptive, I guess is the right word.
It is. It's very disruptive. And I know that a lot of people, I don't know how much it makes a difference to our listeners. I'm sure they're tired of hearing us talking about moving. But I think a lot of us, it is about the history. And the way you've just put it kind of gave me goosebumps. Just the idea that being, you know, right from the heart of the, you know, in the heartland as it is.
It matters.
It does.
It matters.
It
history
mattered.
Matters.
Mm-hmm. And our
sure,
conversations
that,
have mattered.
In that building, Patty, in that building, someone was behind a microphone and said, "Newsflash. World War II is over." You know, newsflash, President Kennedy has been assassinated. Dr. King has been assassinated. Nixon has resigned. So much history. So much history that unites the country and people around the world emanates on that vibration that moves out from that place where you are right now. And that has there's a vibrational resonance that sits in material objects. And I think it permeates the building that you're in. And, you know, it's going to be hard to start from scratch somewhere else.
Well, I hope that we take along, and of course we do take along, the ghosts of Bobby Collins and Wally Phillips and Roy Leonard,
yeah,
and all the great hosts and
Jack
producers.
Brickhouse.
Yes, and all the engineers that have come before us, all the traffic
amazing
reporters.
People.
I mean, some of them are still alive, so they don't like being called ghosts.
They're legends.
They are legends. Legendary. So thank you for all that. It was a wonderful way to put it, Dr. Dingman. I hope that you are well. Of course, now people are calling. It always happens when they hear you do a reading. They're like, oh, can I call now? Well, let me see. Let's see if we have
I think people are frightened for some reason. I don't understand. They should listen to my other podcast on the iTunes called Psychic Circus. It's been on for 3 years, thanks to you, and it's become very popular. And, you know, don't be afraid of the truth. The truth, as Dr. King said, will set you free.
No doubt about it. Well, I think that we're just about out of time. I'll see if I have time. Hold on the line. If we don't come back, Dr. Dingman, when we come back, we're going to do Tell Me Something Good. Do you want to stick around for Tell Me Something Good to wrap up the show, Dr. Dingman?
I don't have anything good to say, Patty. You know me.
Oh, Dr. G.
Everything you've done so far.
You gave the greatest advice, so you did have something
good.
You are a great doctor.
We thank you so much for your time. Have a lovely weekend. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night, Chicago.
Rock on, Dr. D.
Coming up after this break, Tell Me Something Good. What's making you smile tonight? What makes you happy? More after this on 720 WGN.